Welcome to Super Podcast, featuring your hosts.
This morning before I woke up, I was having a dream about Vanilla Ice.
Super Marcy and...
I'm a terrible Australian, because the other day I watched The Last Song starring Miley Cyrus.
Be Germaine.
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not.
Hey everyone, welcome to the latest installment of Super Podcast. I am your lovely co-host, Super Marcy. And with me, as always, is the one, the only, the terrible Australian, Bede Germaine. Hi Bede, how's it going?
Oh good, thanks Marcy, how are you?
I'm not too bad. Awesome! We're not too bad today, apparently.
Yeah, my day's been going alright too.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather not discuss why part of me doesn't feel the greatest, so we'll just leave it at that, I think.
Yeah, we'll leave that to the imaginations of our listeners.
Yes, everyone can imagine why I don't feel the best. It could be because I was looking up pictures of Michael Fassbender and, you know, one thing leads to another, so.
And it became too exhausting for you.
Yeah, pretty much. we'll just go with that excuse. A mixture of that and just, like, watching Kurt Russell movies and whatever.
Indeed.
So, yeah, there was that.
Very exhausting.
Yes. So this is our, I guess, second official show for 2012. And because we're still dwelling on last year, we're going to talk a bit about some of our favourite things that came out of last year. That way we can pack that all up and... You know, our next few shows will not be dedicated to last year, so...
Exactly.
That's what we'll be doing. And today, we have a very special guest. And what makes this guest so special is, A, it's a female, which are very rare in these parts for whatever reason, aside from myself. And she has never been on this podcast before. So, because it's a bit inappropriate for you to do it, I will... Pop her cherry.
Exactly.
She's losing she's losing her super podcast virginity. So let's all welcome Miss Stephanie Cook. Hi.
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 Hi, Stephanie.
How's it going?
We're good. Welcome.
Pretty good, thank you.
Welcome to the madness of the podcast.
I'm excited. I'm all about the crazy in Canada, so, you know.
Crazy Canadian. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now your cherry's been officially popped, so much like first-time experiences, this might be a little bit painful, but we'll try and keep it relatively fun.
Well, that's good to know. You know.
Yes.
Testing the waters.
Yes. And to start off with, we'll let you introduce yourself to the listeners because some of them might not know who you are. So why don't you tell us a bit about where you work currently because it's in the same network of somewhere where I work as well.
Yeah. So I work for JoeBlow.com's Digital Dorm. Like you, Masu, I'm a writer, a news editor for the site. I do a few columns a week. I have one called the Screen Cap Challenge. I have a new column that launched last week called the Face Off. And I have another column called Cool Geek Stuff, where I talk about cool geek stuff.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty self-explanatory. I mean, I don't know what more I can really say. I do a podcast as well with talkingcomicbooks.com, and I live in the middle of nowhere in Canada. That's pretty well me in a nutshell.
That's fine because Bede lives in the middle of nowhere in Australia. So
that's right.
We welcome people who live in the middle of nowhere, but I have to ask, how can you handle three columns a week when I can barely handle doing one every 2 weeks?
It gets a bit tedious sometimes. I'm kind of freaking out and I'm like, oh my God, I've got so much to do. I haven't even done. Yeah. Actually, speaking of which, I haven't actually done my two of the columns for this week. And they're, going up soon, but I have a lot of time. It's pretty well all I'm doing right now in the middle of nowhere. So I try to kind of just delegate between movie watching, TV watching, and, you know, lots and lots of writing.
Yeah, although I guess for mine, I have to pretty much watch a director's filmography in like a week and a half. So it's kind of stressful. But I do enjoy your news and columns. The Screen Cap Challenge fucks me over every week because I'm just so dumb. And if I can't work out what something is, it drives me crazy. And I think I've gotten a few correct, but I can't remember because I haven't, because I've been away and busy and sick and stuff for the last few weeks. I haven't been able to have a look, but I will check out this week's and maybe you can make it a little bit easier for me. I don't know.
I try to put in some easy ones because, well, I'm sure you're familiar with Randy on the site. If people mm-hmm. can't get questions right, I tend to call out a few people, few other people that work for the site to help them out. But I mean, like last week I put a whole bunch in from like Hook and The Never Ending Story. And I was like, everyone is going to get these and nobody got them. And see, I was really sad.
That would be ones I would know. And that's like one that I didn't get to. I'm going to go have a look at that while we're podcasting because I want to see if I'll pick them up.
Yeah. I thought they were really easy. And I was like, oh, everyone's going to yell at me and tell me that, you know, I must think they're dumb, but no one guessed them. And I was like,
going to have a look and see if I recognize them. Now, before we get started on our topic at hand, I have to ask Bede a question.
Yes.
Okay, Bede, why are you a terrible Australian for this week?
Alrighty. I'm a terrible Australian, Marcy.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm trying to think of a movie off the top of my head very quickly. I'm a terrible Australian because I have seen the Prom Night remake.
Ew.
Indeed. It's very ew.
That's pretty disgusting.
It is. This movie, Marcy, is... Wow. It has, like, some of the worst, like... fake scare moments I have ever seen in a movie.
Is I'm not sure because I haven't actually like seen the whole thing, but
yes,
is that the one that has Johnny Cage in it?
Yes.
Does he play like the dad or something?
Yes, exactly.
Don't ask me why I know that, but
unfortunately he doesn't kick any ass in the movie.
Oh, damn it.
And no, like, telling the bad guy, those were $500 glasses, asshole.
Sunglasses, don't forget. They're the sunglasses, asshole.
All right.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yes. Marcy, you know when the movie, like, is really bad? When it has a lampshade scare.
Yeah, what's up with that?
It's like, a character's like, what, the main character... is like wandering around in the room, and then all of a sudden the lampshade like comes on, and she's like, "Ah!"
Yeah, that's just stupid.
And of course, there's like cat scares and other bird scares. Like this movie is chock full of jump scares, and they're all fake.
Yeah, that's
like I don't mind a jump scare in a movie as long as there actually is something scary behind it. But when it's done, you know, like for fake scares and all that, it just pisses me off.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty disgusting movie.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say, like, the original Prom Night was that great of a movie, but compared to that, that
you know, I quite enjoyed the original Prom Night. I mean, the reason I ended up watching it is because they kept referencing it in Scream. And they were like, oh, it's just like the plot of Prom Night with Jamie Lee Curtis. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if I can find it. So... I did eventually find it, and I'm not sure if I picked up on all the references with Scream, but I thought it was a solid kind of horror thriller type of movie. I've seen worse.
Yeah, like, it's solid, it's decent, it's not, like, a great slasher by any means, but, you know, for the genre, it's a decent entry, but, yeah, but that is, like, you know, Schindler's List compared to the remake.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the early days of the slasher, so
Yeah.
You know, it's still untested waters pretty much, but yeah, I thought it was pretty decent. I don't think the sequels are anything to write home about, though.
Yeah. I've only seen one of the sequels, and from what I remember, like, the sequel has nothing to do with the first movie.
Yeah, I think they were just really dumb. Like, the typical, yeah. Like, oh, it's a sequel, but it doesn't have anything to do with the original, like, Troll 2.
Yeah. And apparently the third one, from what I hear, is actually just, like, is a spoof, from what I've heard.
It might be. I'd have to, like, look them up again, but it's been so long, I don't really remember. I just remember, like, the VHS covers.
Yeah.
Which I might look up on Google Image Search so I can remember. I think the original Prom Night had a really cool, like, poster or artwork. I found the Prom Night 3 one. It's pretty hilarious. Prom Night 3, The Last Kiss. Dying for a Good Time. Like... Call Mary Lou. unfortunately, the listeners probably won't hear it, but I'll post it on our podcast page.
Okay.
just you know, for the hell of it.
Yeah.
So
it's not the same when you hear about it then, seeing it, like, with your own eyes.
Yeah, so they'll have to see it. So, Bede, do you want to introduce what our topic is? Because I think I mentioned it had something to do with 2011, but I didn't mention specifics.
Yeah, well, we're sort of talking about basically, I guess, our favourite or slash best of 2011, sorry, in categories, like different types of various categories, which... I don't know what the categories are yet, but I assume that you already know what they are.
They're in my head, so I will try and remember what they might be. Now, to start with, I think on some of the other podcasts, we had already named, like, our best of movies. I'm not sure if you did, Bede. So if you have maybe, like, a top five that... you kind of, or top five that you've at least seen, because obviously we haven't seen every single movie released, but if you want to just go over quickly your top five.
Okay. Well, basically my top five probably is not going to be my definitive top five. As I said on a previous podcast, there's still a lot of movies like from 2011 I haven't seen yet, so I haven't even put up my official top 10 yet until I've seen all these other movies.
Yeah, I mean, I still haven't seen, like... Hugo or The Artist or Shame. I mean, Shame will be number one for different reasons. but, you know, there's still ones that I haven't seen. So my list is kind of, you know, as of December 31st, that's what my top is. Like, already I want to add in, like, Mission Impossible 4 and Tintin. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, go over just say, like, some of your five.
Okay, well, at the current moment, my top five are, and like I said, like, for all I know, some of these movies might get knocked out of my top 10 if I see something better. Mm. My current top five, my number five, is Captain America, The First Avenger.
Nice pick.
Which was awesome, I rewatched it again the other day with my cousin, and we just had an absolute ball watching it.
Yeah, it's so fun.
We did it as a double bill with Thor.
I don't have Thor on Blu-ray because it costs fucking $45 and you can't get it without the 3D.
Well, I felt the one I bought didn't have the 3D.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, like, look or shop around, but it's expensive. I know that, like, JB have, like, 25% off for a limited time, so it'd be a good time to, like, get it. But Captain America as well is, like, $36 on Blu-ray, so it's a bit pricey for me at the moment.
Yeah. I suppose, like, if in Australia, just look around and, like... Yeah. There's, like, two versions. There's, like, of the Blu-ray, there's the 3D version and the non-3D version.
Yeah, because I don't give a shit about 3D. I don't have a 3D TV. I don't have a 3D Blu-ray player. I don't give a rat's ass in owning any kind of 3D edition. I just want, like, a 2D.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, to me, 3D only works really best if you, like, watch it in the cinema in a big screen and all that.
Yeah, you know what? I do like... I can't remember the name, with the blue and the red. Like, if you get that on a DVD and you can just put the glasses on.
Oh, yeah, I got, like these 3D glasses that I was given at when I was up in Melbourne. Like, and I'm going to use those from now on every time I watch a 3D movie because they're awesome glasses. And they're not the crappy, like, budget blue-red glasses you get, like, with a lot of movies.
Yeah, because I got, like, the cheapy ones with, like, My Bloody Valentine 3D.
Yeah.
But then, you know, with other ones, like, I have copies of, like, Final Destination 4, even though that movie's not the greatest. I need, like, the different type of glasses, and I've seen, like, Jaws 3D in 3D and Amityville 3D, so I need, like, those specific glasses. I think I also found Friday the 13th Part 3 in 3D. But I need, like, the really cheap, crappy glasses, so...
Yeah.
yeah. Anyway.
Anyways.
Anyway, we're kind of off topic, but continue.
Alrighty. Sorry.
Continue.
My number four, I guess. Well, I could do this before I go on to my number four. Captain America, one of my, like, an awesome movie from beginning to end, and I loved every second of it. Mm-hmm. So, my number four is X-Men First Class.
Very nice.
Yes, because, you know, again, like, if I had to say between the two, I think between that and Captain America, like, I think X-Men First Class is the better movie,
mm-hmm.
but I think Captain America was the one that entertained me the most because, you know, had that sense of adventure and fun and all that, but...
They're very different, but
X-Men, like, delivers more on a story front and characters and... And also the action is incredible. Like, it has all, everybody in the cast does a great job, whether they're in a big or small role. And even, yes, your man, Michael Fassbender, does a great job as Magneto, and he does Ian McKellen yep. proud. Yep.
Very much.
And yes. And, like I said, on another podcast, the only complaint I had is like continuity issues with the other films, but you know,
but like, I do think, and they have said that, it's its own thing, like, they do have nods to the other films, but it's really meant to be seen as its own thing.
I suppose, but then again...
It's supposed to be... Oops, sorry.
No.
That's all right, you go ahead, that's all right.
It's supposed to be, like, from the comic book perspective, it's sort of like an alternate... From what I remember, it's sort of like an alternate beginning, like... It kind of rewrites the origins of the stories from, like, the original X-Men trilogy. Mm. I see what you mean. Like, it's not really consistent, but it's kind of like, from the comics, it's a separate sort of entity.
Yeah.
I think I sort of accepted, like, it's in the same world as in the other movies, but at the same time, it is its own thing. Because, I mean, there are characters who, like, in cameo roles, who I won't mention, who pop up in cameo parts who had played other characters in the other films. So I think it is, like I said before, still set in the same universe as the other four X-Men films, but at the same time, it's like does its own thing, if that makes sense.
There is a quote about like what it's meant to be, because it was meant to be like a Magneto prequel.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Which you can tell because there's still a lot of that in there. But it does say, I think the director did say, mention that they wanted it to be its own thing. But I can't, I'll have to look up the quote, but I can't find it. So
that's fair enough.
It's definitely there, but yeah. Anyway.
My number three and is the Australian film Red Dog, which mm-hmm. was like the biggest box office Australian film of the year, last year anyway. And it's sort of like this really, sort of like whimsical, but, enjoyable, very funny, but also very touching sort of, story about this dog who comes into the lives of these people in this small country town in Australia and somehow, and this dog sort of becomes a part of these people's lives and how this dog sort of helps, but sort of becomes like a figure in their sort of big moments in their lives as well. Mm-hmm. Cause it sort of like tells it in flashbacks, like the, not to spoil the film, but they sort of like a lot of the characters in the film sort of flashback on sort of key moments in their lives in which, Red Dog was involved in, and it's a great film, and it's like it's like a perfect family film. And like when I went to the cinema and watched this, it like the cinema was packed, and And you can tell that everyone absolutely loved it. And I know people, like, in real life who have seen it and they absolutely loved it as well. It's definitely one of my favorite Aussie films of the year. Like, I still haven't seen Snowtown yet. And I know that two very different films, well, but, yes. You know, but depending on what happens. But at the moment, until I see that film, Red Dog is definitely my personal favorite Aussie film of the year.
Okay.
My number two is Take Shelter.
Yeah.
Which I sort of talked about on a previous podcast. And sort of like when we discussed about the ending, which I won't spoil, I sort of look back on the ending now and I definitely have at least my own interpretation of what that the film's ending is supposed to be. And I think it might be the correct one, but you know.
Well, I think it's ambiguous and meant to be left up to.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's sort of ambiguous, but I sort of have my own interpretation of what it happens. But at the same time, it's a sort of a very slow burn, but very compelling, sort of dramatic film with a fantastic performance from Michael Shannon, and as well as a terrific supporting role from Jessica Chastain, who's like, you know, the breakout star of 2011. Pretty much. And it's a film I think everyone definitely should check out. It's just, I wasn't sure what to expect while I was watching it. I knew I was going to dig it, but I never actually thought I'd end out coming out of the cinema thinking, oh, that's one of the best films I've seen all year.
Mm-hmm.
And my number one, and I've sort of mentioned this as well, is Drive, which is just an absolutely phenomenal film. After watching this film in the cinema, I almost wanted to sit up in my seat and clap. That movie, that's how I was impressed by the film. Like I said, it's not, the film story isn't like completely new. It's not like, it's kind of your sort of typical sort of crime action film type of story, but the way that it's handled in both the writing, the performances, the cinematography, the score, and also, Nicholas Winding Refn's direction, it is just phenomenal.
Yep.
Like, it's a, just absolutely loved it. And it also has like a very interesting sort of subtext as well. Like, that adds a lot to the film, yeah, as well, when it comes to Ryan Gosling's character,
mm-hmm,
how it might be sort of like, he might actually have a mental illness, which I actually find adds a bit of a layer to the film in some way. Whether it's actually there or not, I'm not sure, but it actually makes the film even more interesting than it already is. And yeah, I absolutely love this film. It's one of the, like, the film that, well, at this point, that actually literally blew me away when I watched it. And I'm not, whether it will still be my number one for 2011, I'm not sure. Like I said, I still have more movies to check out, mm-hmm, but at the moment, that's definitely my favorite of 2011.
Cool. And Stephanie, do you have a top five that you've seen?
Yes. I kind of just wrote down a bunch of things that I liked from the year, but I didn't actually see that much either. Like, I haven't had a chance to see Drive yet, and there's a few other films from the year that I just haven't had a chance to see. Like, you mentioned Hugo as well. But some of the ones that I did watch this year and I loved, I don't really have them in any particular order.
Okay. Well, you can just name them.
Yeah. So the first one I'll mention, I actually don't know if this one came out this year, so forgive me, but Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Officially it did come out this year, but it's a 2010 film. So
yeah, I think it did more of the film circuit kind of, I mean, the festival circuit.
I think
circuit
it was more thing, a festival thing, but it officially came out 2011. And I included it in those releases. Like, it just missed out on my top, like, 20. But continue.
It was so much fun. I loved the spin that they did on it, and I just thought it was totally great and just, it's fun. Lots and lots and lots of fun.
It's
hilarious. I loved it.
It's a very smart film as well, like, in terms of how it sort of plays up the sort of whole backwards sort of horror genre.
It plays up the cliches and spoofs it, like, really well.
And it has, like, some of the dumbest scenes of all time in this movie.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite scenes of the year is actually in this film, is the wood chipper scene.
Yeah.
I never laughed so hard in my
life. That I was almost, like, on the floor because it was just so funny.
It's just so brilliant. And they're just like, I mean, they're so confused. They don't know what to do. Obviously, they didn't want, the cops won't believe them. It's just so perfect. I thought it was really clever, and that's why it's on my list.
Yeah. I have no complaints with it being on your list because it's awesome.
I also had a chance to see 50-50 pretty recently with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Seth Rogen? Yeah.
Seth Rogen, yes.
And I really loved that. I love Joseph Gordon-Levitt, but to be honest, I mean, Seth Rogen could have not been in the movie for me. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's awesome, and Anna Kendrick, who is going to be the only person to come out of the Twilight movies unscathed and with
a career.
I agree.
So, yeah, she was really great in that, and I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think she got nominated, or the movie got nominated for anything this year, and I don't think it will, but it definitely deserves a nod. Let's see. What else was on my list? Hannah.
Yeah, see, I completely, forgot all about this movie, but I absolutely loved it when I saw it. But when I look at, what I rated films, I think it would just missed out on my top 20. But, yeah, it's pretty awesome. Now that I've interrupted you, you can continue.
Oh, yeah, no, it's okay. this was probably... The movie theater for me is pretty far away, so I only really make trips into town for movies that I really want to see. And this, Hannah, only played in, there's two theaters on the island I live on, and it played in the theater that's about an hour away from me. So I made a extra long trip to go see it, and really, really enjoyed it. I mean, it's kind of like, it's action-y, but it's not all at the same time, and it just was a really interesting movie, and the best part about it, I thought, was the soundtrack by the Chemical Brothers.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Sorry, I kind of got sidetracked there for a second, but yeah, no, Hannah, great. I'm not even going to try and pronounce her name. I know I'm going to get it wrong, so.
Saoirse Ronan.
Yeah,
I can't pronounce it.
Don't worry, it took me a long time to pronounce that name, too.
I looked it up for the longest time because I actually want to be able to know what her name is, and I can picture what it is in my head, but when the words come out, it's just like, Ronin girl, that her.
Yeah, I have no idea either, so I just let Bede pronounce it.
Yep.
Yes. So that was on my list as well, but Cate Blanchett, so evil in that movie.
And so Eric Bana, so sexy. Oh, my God.
I don't love him as much, as everyone else seems to, but I really did enjoy him in Hannah. It's probably one of the first movies that I really liked him in something.
I guess maybe it's because he's Australian. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe so.
Another one that I really loved was Tintin.
Yes. I love Tintin.
I saw that. I went and saw a couple movies last week. I did sort of a double feature with Mission Impossible 4, which I also loved. And then I followed that up with Tintin. And
same. Not together, but one day after the other. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible. I loved Mission Impossible 4, but then Tintin was just it was so beautiful. There was times when I was watching it and... the fabric on people's clothes. I could have swore that it was live action. It's just
it was
so
crazy.
Well done.
Yeah. I don't really like that style a lot, but I just thought it was
I didn't, you know? I didn't like the people. I didn't really like the... I don't know how to... It was beautiful, and once you got into it, you didn't really notice.
Mm.
But I don't really like the style of animation, but I can definitely appreciate the level of detail that went into it. And yeah, I mean, I'd rather have it be either live action or really cartoony, like Pixar or a Disney film. But I mean, I still really enjoyed it. I thought the story was really good. And I mean, who wrote it? Stephen Moffat. Edgar Wright
and
Joe
The attack the block guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a recipe for absolute success.
If that movie sucked, like, everyone, it would be, like, an anomaly. It just couldn't suck. There was no way.
No. Not at all.
Let me see.
And I think
you already mentioned X-Men First Class. I loved that, but I won't get into that. And quickly, I'll just say I loved Attack the Block. I loved Bridesmaids. I watched the movie Submarine last night. I loved that.
So good, and
the last thing I'll mention, just because it's sort of the end of an era, is Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. That made me really sad. I've been reading those books and watching the movie since I was a kid, and for those to come to an end now, it's just...
It's still very sad. I think I went over, like, my top 20 a while ago, but my top 5 hasn't changed. So mine were Senna, which was the documentary about Ayrton Senna, which I don't think I've ever been in a movie theater where every single person was crying. Like, really badly crying. It was so emotional, and I don't know if I can actually bring myself to watch it again. Number 4 is Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, 7.2. Number 3 is I Saw the Devil, which was a 2010 film, but it didn't really get, like, a wide release in the US or Australia till 2011, so I've included it. Number 2, Drive, and then number 1 was 50-50. So that was my top. So we'll continue to more kind of tops. So I'll just throw it to Bede. Who would say maybe, like, you know, maybe 3 actors who you thought were the best for you for the year?
The 3 best actors.
Actors, and you can do actresses separately if you like.
Okay, that's fair enough. I definitely would say of the actors, male performances that I've seen. Does this count both leading and supporting?
Yes.
Okay. My definitely picks for lead actor, and this is in no particular order, Michael Shannon, of course, in Take Shelter. Amazing performance. And definitely my favourite of the year so far. Ryan Gosling in Drive. He's definitely like the he's like the man with no name character, well, literally, because he's just known as Driver in the movie, and he barely, says anything. But when he does, it's sort of, like, short and straight to the point, you know? Mm-hmm. But at times he could be, like, really tender and caring in some things in the scenes with Carey Mulligan and her son, and at times in other scenes he can be full of intensity, and you could be quite frightened of it as well. My number 3, I have to say, Michael Parks in Red State. Like, I know the movie it's very diverse, like, some people either like the film and some people don't like the film, but to me, whether you do, all have to agree that Michael Parks was absolutely amazing in this film. He has this scene, like, it's sort of like the infamous sort of, like, 10-minute sermon that he has in the middle of the movie, but how he performs that is utterly compelling, because what his character says is absolutely evil and wrong, but he just is able to hook you in that you just can't take your eyes off screen, and that's why that performance was definitely one of my favorites of the year. And another best actor performance off the top of my head that I loved, I would have to say, Albert Brooks in Drive as well.
He was great.
It's definitely one of the biggest sort of cast against type roles, because we all know sort of Albert Brooks is sort of like a comedian, a comedic actor and all that, but this is him like pretty much he's most evil.
Yeah.
And like, but it's like, even though he's an evil character, but the way he plays it, it's like, you know, like he doesn't really want to do all these bad things, but given the situation, he has to. So he has basically no choice in the matter. And also, finally, my number 5 is Brad Pitt in Moneyball.
You do realize I said 3.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, my bad.
But anyway.
But Brad Pitt and Moneyball, great performance. And, yeah, sorry about that. I thought it was top five, sorry.
I said three, but whatever.
Okay. That was just too many.
All right. That's fine. And Stephanie, what about you?
I don't think I have, like, three specific people that I really enjoyed this year, but you actually already mentioned one of them, and I think that my overall actor, actress of the year would have to be Jessica Chastain, because she was just amazing in everything she was in. She was awesome in The Help. She was awesome in The Debt. I haven't seen Take Shelter yet, but I can only imagine that she does great things with that. And
Tree of Life as well.
Bede can have my other two, you know, it'll balance out.
Yeah.
That's my only one for this year that I really can think of off the top of my head.
See, Bede pretty much named, like, a lot of, like, my favorites. But just for a few, I mean, maybe I won't stick to numbers because Bede doesn't listen.
Sorry.
I'll name a few others, like, with I Saw the Devil, the two leads, whose names I can't pronounce. I'll try. I think it's Bai Young-Hun Lee, who you might remember from G.I. Joe, and Min-Sik Choi, who you might remember from Old Boy. They were absolutely fantastic. And with Cold Fish, which was the craziest movie I probably saw, next to I Saw the Devil, which was from Seon Sun-ho. The guy that played Murata, I think the character was called, the actor's name is Denden. He has no first or last name, but he was pretty unbelievable in that. And I will give, special notices to, like, with Meek's Cutoff, which, again, it was a 2010 film but didn't get released till 2011, Bruce Greenwood, who was absolutely fantastic, and people like, you know, Michael Fassbender, who has just been, was a great year for him, and with, like, in Thor, I thought Tom Hiddleston did such a great job, and his character was so layered for a villain. And the last one I wanted to mention was Elizabeth Olsen in Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. And that's pretty much an amazing breakout performance and a very memorable and strong one. So there's those. How about we go for, unless Bede, do you have a topic?
I was going to say my actresses, but...
Well, you can say your actresses. I just kind of lumped mine together.
Okay, well, Jessica Chastain, of course. I haven't seen in many movies, but the two I saw her in, The Help and Take Shelter, she was absolutely terrific in. My second would be Tilda Swinton in We Need to Talk About Kevin.
You mean We Need to Fucking Slap Kevin Upside the Head?
Yeah, or We Need to Beat the Shit Out of Kevin, as I like to call it.
Yeah, pretty much.
But even though I do have, like, I do like the movie overall, but I do have issues with it, but I can definitely say that one of those issues isn't Tilda Swinton. She was just, just whether you like the film or not, you have to agree that she was absolutely terrific in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And my third one is definitely my favourite Best Actress performance of the year so far, and that's Viola Davis in The Help.
Okay.
Like, she is. When I rewatched the film again the other week, I just was really even more taken in by her performance because she brings so much heartache and just so much beauty to her performance. It's a very, very subtle performance, but, like, she just is. Every scene she is in, every scene that she's in, she just is phenomenal. There's no way around it. I just loved her in that film, and it's it's an absolutely pitch perfect performance, and in my opinion, I think she should win the Oscar. but that's just me. But those are definitely my favorite best actresses performances of the year so far.
Mm.
Oh, 2011.
Yeah. aside from that, were there any other, like, topics you wanted to bring up for best ofs?
I guess. one I'm sort of been thinking about because I haven't really sort of struggled trying to come up with films for it, even though I should. Probably best screenplay.
You know, as strange as it might be, I think like one of my favorite scripts, I think, aside from like obvious like Drive, because yeah. I think that had such a strong script, but with something like 50-50, I think it's just perfectly written. And I know that like a lot of people didn't see this movie because it was more of a, I think, a festival film, Tomboy, which is a French sort of coming of age film, which had just a stunning script. And I actually even think Super 8 had a very strong script for the most part, which are very, you know, different kind of things, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely say Drive has a great script. Take Shelter would be another one, because I think that film was very extremely well written. And also I'd have to say Moneyball had a pretty great script as well. And yeah. I mean, when you have a screenplay that's written by two of the best writers in film, Steven Zalian and Aaron Sorkin, you know you're going to have something awesome right there.
And sorry, I forgot all about The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, because it's... I only saw it, like, last week, and I haven't added it to my list, but that script was really, you know, that's such a great adaptation. And again, actually, this is, like, the weirdest thing for me to say, but Rooney Mara might be one of my favourite actresses of last year with her performance in that movie.
What?
I know, right?
Now, if I told you that was going to happen, like, a year ago, Marcy, you would have laughed in my face.
I know, because she's the complete opposite of everything that was wrong with what she did and what happened with A Nightmare on Elm Street remake.
Yes.
But anyway.
Yes. another one I like to talk about is... Oh, sorry, Stephanie, screenplays. Forgot to ask you.
Oh. I didn't put too much thought into the screenplay aspect of it, but again, it's one that I've sort of already talked about, but... Tintin. The screenplay that could do no wrong. I mean, look at who wrote it. I couldn't have more love for Stephen Moffat, and it just shows in the script how brilliant they all are.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's a great script.
But yeah. That's pretty well it. I can't think of any too many more off the top of my head.
I probably one I'd like to talk about, Marcy. Favorite film scores.
Mine would be. This is hard because it'd be a toss up between, like, Drive with the stuff in there, or The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. But I think The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo might win out.
Yeah.
I can't really think, like, of many. I mean, it's just not something I've really, like, thought about too much. But, yeah, I think The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo for me would be the top.
Yeah. For me personally, like, again, with scores, just from the films I've seen compared to, like, you know, listening to scores without actually seeing the movies they're from, definitely Drive, of course. But I also want to give another love to Contagion, which was also scored by Cliff Martinez, who also did Drive. And that score, the Contagion score, is very, in a way, kind of similar to Drive's, in that it's very electronic and very synth-based, and it's just absolutely fantastic. I'd definitely say the Super 8 score.
Oh, yeah, Super 8.
Which is the Michael Giacchino doing, like, his best John Williams, and it's, which I absolutely loved. And, yeah, I think those are basically some ones that pop up top of the, at the top of my head at the moment.
Cool. And, Stephanie, do you have anything to add to scores?
I haven't seen The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo yet, but I definitely know the soundtrack is I've listened to, they released a bit of it before the movie and I loved it. So that's definitely on there. I also mentioned Hannah, and the soundtrack that was composed by the Chemical Brothers, which I think just perfectly went along perfectly with the movie. And I listened to the soundtrack still, like I've listened to it like at least once a week since the movie came out. I love it. Awesome. So good. So those are the two that are notable to me.
Yeah. As for other topics, I mean, are there other sort of like non-film related like tops that either of you wanted to share?
Maybe.
TV, maybe?
Well, if I'm going with TV, that's easy because for me, the best shows were Breaking Bad and Sons of Anarchy. Pretty much my top two. And special mentions to something like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which I just got into this last year, but the last season was pretty hilarious and just really dark. And for a comedy, it was awesome. And Homeland being the best new show for last year, in my opinion.
But Homeland has the worst opening credits. I love the show. Hate their opening credits. I know that's
they're a little bit odd.
Irrelevant.
I agree with that, but yeah, not something I really thought about. But the show is amazing. But yeah.
I know the show is amazing. Claire Danes is amazing in it.
Mm, she is. It's interesting to see her on TV, and I'm glad she made that decision to do that.
Mm-hmm. I can't really say too much TV because I haven't been watching much TV in the past year, unfortunately. So I'm way behind on a lot of stuff.
And, well, Stephanie, what about you with TV?
Mine are pretty obvious, I guess. The latest season of Doctor Who.
Which I'm still in season 5.
So good. So good.
I'll get there eventually.
There's a BBC series called The Fades, which was amazing. It's kind of like this spooky ghost story, apocalyptic type thing. I don't know how to explain it. You kind of just have to like watch it and get into it. Fringe.
I didn't watch Fringe, unfortunately.
I think the first episode of Sherlock debuted in 2011, so I'll say Sherlock as well. And of course, Community.
Oh yeah, Community, of course. Always awesome. Yeah, I watch so much TV, but it's just hard to like remember everything. But yeah, I guess those ones were my tops. I mean, hands down, I think Breaking Bad was the best for me.
I haven't seen Breaking Bad yet or Sons of Anarchy. I've seen
highly
all of the Breaking Bad until this latest season.
Well,
but I haven't
highly seen. Recommended because it's amazing. I'm just trying to think because, I mean, with things like reading, I haven't read like a lot of stuff from the year. I mean, I've read some comics with New 52 with probably, I'm probably biased, but Supergirl is my favorite. And like with the new music, I don't think anything can top, the Black Keys new album because it's like the best thing ever. And I haven't really played any new games, so I can't really comment on games for the year. I don't know if you guys want to add anything to those.
I haven't read much this past year as well, because movies have basically taken up too much of my time. And music, like nothing really off the top of my head. I'm sort of a person who dislikes all different types of music, so there's nothing that sort of really like stood out for me as like the album of the year. But I definitely enjoyed like, and this might be a shock to a lot of people, I enjoyed like Adele, like all of like Adele's new album 21. That was
shocking.
Sort of beautifully done. Sorry, Marcy.
I said, yeah, that's totally shocking.
It is totally shocking because nobody expects that from me.
Yeah.
But but that's sort of like the sort of the main one. But other than that, like sort of a mixture of different things, but that's sort of like my main one so far in terms of music.
Okay. And Stephanie?
For music, I'm a big music nerd. I love music. So I know a lot of people had issues with this album, but I loved the new Florence and the Machine.
Still haven't heard it.
So good. I'm kind of obsessed with her, like a lot of it obsessed. I really enjoyed the new Feist record, called Metals. Let's see. What else came out? Definitely the Black Keys. I mean, that album was fantastic. I don't know what else I really listened to. I kind of got in a funk where I just had like one playlist with like 50 songs that I listened to all year.
Yeah.
So there's some new stuff, but I don't think anything collectively worth mentioning. I don't know if this came out this year, but there's a band called Y Oak, and they had an album called Civilian, and it's amazing. Amazing. So, that's it.
What about books or games?
Pardon?
Books or games.
Ooh, books or games.
Books and or games.
Or
books, comics, whatever.
Too much. I guess, like, for games, Batman Arkham City was really great.
Everybody's Skyrim. Obsessed with that and that as well.
Yeah, I know. They're pretty cliche. But I only, like, bought, like, the games that were, like, really, really awesome this year because I was trying to catch up on all the ones I haven't played yet from previous years. Didn't work out. I just wanted to play all the new ones. Mm-hmm. And I played Gears of War 3, which was amazing. As for books, I didn't read too much that was actually from this year. I read a book actually that came out last week by a gentleman named Ed Brubaker, and it's like a sort of film noir comic called Fatale, and that was amazing. And if anyone who's listening to this likes comics, that is my big recommendation. But I guess that's not 2011, so I fail. Sorry.
You see, I read American Vampire Volume 1, but I don't know if that was like last year or the year before when the comics came out.
That one came out, I think, in 2010, but it's amazing. You should definitely read it. It's so good. Oh, wait, did you say you have read it?
Volume 1. I haven't read Volume 2 yet.
Oh, I loved Volume 1.
It's really fucking good. But yeah, I'm not sure if there's much else I can think of, and we're probably out of time anyway, unless there's any last things you want to add. Anybody?
Best celebrity meetings, Val Kilmer and Christopher Walken. Oh, yeah.
I had a lot of celebrity meetings last year, and it'll take me a whole nother podcast to get through them, so I won't mention.
Well, those were the only two for me.
Well, so. I'll just say Lance Henriksen and the winking was a big highlight, so there you go. but, yeah, I think that's probably a wrap from all of us.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Stephanie, for joining us on this crazy little podcast, and she'll hopefully come back soon.
Yay.
With a different topic and lots more craziness. And we'll just run over where people can find us. You can find me in bed watching Kurt Russell movies on a regular basis. But really, you can find us at supermarcy.com, or you can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/supermarcy, or you can just type in Super Podcast on Facebook search engine and like the page, or you can find Super Podcast on iTunes. And I think you can send me an email at marcy@supermarcy.com. Bede, what about you?
You can find me being afraid of my lamp on a daily basis every time it's turned on.
Just make sure you're wearing your prom dress.
Exactly. but you can also find me at my Twitter at twitter.com/BedeJamine, or my Facebook at facebook.com/BedeJamine, or my Movie Fan Central page at moviefancentral.com/TerraAustralis. And also you can find my weekly writings for both my movie song of the week and also DVD reviews for supermarcy.com. And I have a new DVD review coming out next week. So stay tuned for that.
And Stephanie.
Well, I can be found mostly on Twitter, twitter.com/hellocookie. I think pretty well you can find everything everywhere else I am on the internet with that specific username. Hellocookie, Facebook, Twitter, Movie Fan Central, that's me.
Yeah, pretty much the same with me. Just look up Super Marcy. And thanks again for joining us for this very unprepared show, which is how we roll on Super Podcast, because we don't believe in preparation.
Exactly.
At all. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in and joining us again for 2012. And as for the next podcast, I have no idea what we're doing, so you'll have to tune in and find out what the hell we're up to. So until then, catch you guys later.
See you, everyone.
Bye.